shaking badly now. From somewhere in the plane's innards, something was banging, like a wild beast trying to get out of its cage. "Hold together, baby," Karen cooed silently to the huge airplane. "Just a few more minutes. I know you're hurt, but just hang together for a little bit longer. Just a little bit." They broke through the bottom of the clouds, and she could see the runway lights strung out straight and beautiful like a guiding arrow leading her to safety, glistening wet with rain. "The runway!" Kaufman shouted. "We're on the nose," Karen saw. "Got to thank John for getting us through the soup and lined up exactly right. Now comes the tough part. The real test." She remembered the old adage, "Flying is the second most exciting thing a person can do. Landing is the first most exciting." "Full flaps," Kaufman said. "Speed on the button." Nothing in the fuel tanks but fumes, she knew. If we break up on the runway, we won't burst into flames. Not a big fire, anyway. Maybe some, but not so much we won't be able to get out. We'll be okay if I can get her on the ground without tearing her apart. Gently, gently, Karen eased the big plane onto the runway, kissing the concrete with the right main gear so smoothly that for an instant she wasn't certain the wheels had actually touched the ground. Out of the corner of her eye she saw a long line of fire trucks standing by along the edge of the runway. And two ambulances. "They don't expect to pull many of us out," she thought. "Bring the nose down," she told herself. Kaufman was babbling something, but she paid no attention to her co-pilot. The plane was rolling along the runway now on its nose and right main gear. Losing speed. No thrust reversing, Karen told herself. Not enough fuel left for that. She pressed on the brakes, and the plane slowed to a screeching, squalling shriek, and the battered left wing dipped toward the ground. "Hang on!" The wingtip caught the concrete, and the outboard engine nacelle smashed into the ground in the next instant. Christopher felt herself lurch painfully against her harness straps, her head thrown forward and then snapped back against the seat back with a thump. The plane was grinding against the concrete, slewing to the left, tilted at a crazy angle. The cockpit was shaking, bouncing, slamming her sideways back and forth with a roaring, tearing, groaning noise like a monster truck being smashed and squashed by car crushers. And then it stopped. The cockpit filled with gritty, dusty fumes as Christopher sat there, totally wiped out, too weak to lift her arms. But only for a moment. "Hartunian," she yelled at the intercom microphone. "You okay?" "No broken bones, I think." "You and your people go out the forward hatch with us." "Yes, ma'am," came the heartfelt reply. Kaufman was already getting out of his chair. Karen heard the wail of sirens approaching. Kaufman reached over and helped her to her feet. "Hell of a landing, lady. Hell of a landing." "Thanks," she said, feeling weak in her knees. "Now let's get out of here before something blows up." Washington, D.C. Hamburger Palace.
"So you've never been married?" asked Zuri Coggins.
Sitting across the narrow table from her, Michael Jamil shook his head as he swallowed a mouthful of well-done hamburger loaded with ketchup. "No," he said at last, reaching for a paper napkin from the dispenser at the end of the table, where it abutted the wall. "My parents picked out a wife for me when I was in undergrad school, but by the time I graduated she had gone off to school herself, and she met a guy there and married him instead." Coggins watched him dab self-consciously at his lips. The diner was almost empty this late at night, only one other couple in the booths, and